God is good, and all the time. Glad to be with you, church. My name's Mike. I'm the associate pastor. If you're new, we welcome you. If you're joining us online, we welcome you as well. We're glad you can worship with us today. Glad you could all get here through Snowmageddon. I know we had quite the weather the other day, but I'm glad you're all here with us all this morning. By the time I was 8 years old, I had watched the 1978 Superman movie on VHS tape at least 100 times, and that's no exaggeration. I would watch Superman with Christopher Reeves at my grandparents' house. I would sit on their brown shag carpet. I'd be in front of their big entertainment center, watching it on what I would think would be a 32-inch television that weighed about 3,400 pounds. Remember how TVs were like that? It took like your whole family to move a TV from one room to the other. Well, let me tell you, I loved Superman. Man, did I love Superman. I had Superman pajamas. It had a cape on it too. I mean, that was incredible. I don't know where the cape went. I'm still like mad about that here 30 years later. I had a Superman action figure, and that guy was always just, you know, really taking villains down. I loved it so much that when it broke its left leg, I continued to play with it, and I would just pretend it had a left leg when I was playing with it. I loved Superman. I loved the Superman movie. But for about a year, I believe it's when my grandparents retired and they were spending half their time in Rantoul, half their time in southern Texas, I didn't watch that Superman movie for about a year. I was between 8 or 9 and 9 and 10. I'm not sure exactly. But after that year had come by, I came and I watched the movie again in front of that load of a television, in front of that entertainment center, sitting on that brown shag carpet. You know what I found? I found that the movie was different. Now, it was the same VHS tape, the same movie, again, the same actor and actresses, but something had changed with the movie. But what had changed was actually me. I was starting to better understand this movie that I'd seen 100 times before, starting to better understand the storylines that had happened in the movie. I was starting to better understand the dialogue that was happening between the characters, where a year earlier, all I cared was about was Superman flying around and his super strength and how fast he was and his X-ray vision, those type of things. Now I was starting to understand that Lex Luthor was a bit devious and that Clark Kent, he was a complete goober. Now, I remember having that moment of self-awareness by myself, sitting exactly where I told you I was sitting, and it was quite enlightening for my little 9-year-old brain, because even though it's just a silly movie, it's a silly story, it told me I was becoming something that I was not before. It told me I was becoming new. It was like the old had passed, and the new me had come. You know, experiencing something new, whether it's like that, in many ways, it's a incredible feeling. It can be exhilarating when we have something new happen. It can be thought-provoking. It can be life-changing. But one of the things I love about the Bible and about theology is that these newnesses that we experience in this world actually originate from God. Did you know that a newness in general originates from God? And here's what we know, is that God is always doing something new. God is always doing something new. Whenever God put this world in order, whenever he kind of said, boom, there's the earth, he put something within it that keeps things new. Some of us call regeneration, but we see it in nature, we can see it in ourselves, like my story, and we can see it in other places. There's always something new. Life gives us new experiences. That ultimately comes from the hand of God. Now, you don't have to know church, you don't have to know the Bible to see that. You can just see that there's a characteristic in this world that comes from God. In theology, we actually call this, there's a term for it, when we see a characteristic of God, but we don't have to be a part of the faith to see it, and it's called general revelation. It's where you can make observations about the world, about nature, about us, and see the characteristic of God. Here's an example. Have you ever looked at flowers in the field and thought, something beautiful must have made those flowers? Have you ever looked to the mountains and thought to yourself, there must have been something majestic that sculpted these mountains? Have you ever looked at the stars and thought, something with immense knowledge, someone with immense power must have put this world together? Theologically, we call that general revelation. You don't have to go to church to see that, to see that God created the universe. When we look in the Bible, we can find some help, and in biblical studies, it helps us. We can find it in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where it says this: "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature." The big idea is that when we look at creation, we can learn something about God. Now, the Bible is what confirms if something is going on in creation or if something going on in us is actually from God or not. That's the guide to what we look at in the world. We know that sin has forever changed creation. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, that was when sin came into the world. It affected us and it affected creation. And there will always be this effect on creation. There will always be this effect on us until Christ comes again and until he makes a new heaven and new earth, like it says in Revelations. But one of these qualities that I want to focus in on today that God has set in the world, that God has set in us, is this idea of newness. Let me explain it to you in a different way to see newness by a story. For a year, I was an intern in Chicago at a retirement community. It was a pretty fun experience. I liked talking with people, so I got to talk a lot of the retirees. We got to know each other, got to learn about their, there's so much wisdom for people who have walked through life. There's so much wisdom I was just taking in all those conversations. At the same time, my wife and I were about to have our first child. My wife was probably about 7 months pregnant when the conversation happened. And what I was sharing with a particular woman was about how this is going to be our first child and how neat and cool that was, how it would be this new experience. And I happened to mention that my parents and my wife's parents, it would be their first grandchild. And my grandparents, who are still with us, it would be their first grandchild. And so I was still kind of talking about the newness for me. I'll never forget what this lady told me. She said, "This is a great new moment for you, but realize that your parents are going to be grandparents for the first time. That's new for them. Realize your grandparents are going to be great-grandparents. That's new for them as well." It hit me in that moment that there is newness, no matter how old you are, that can be accessed here. And again, that newness comes from God. When God put this world in motion, there was a quality of newness that comes straight from him, because God is always doing something new. But not only that, not only is God always doing something new, folks, God is always doing something new in us. Did you know that God is always, through whatever season you are in, God is working out something new in you? That's why we encourage you so much to hold on. You'll hear it in the Bible. You hear preachers say, it's like, keep enduring, keep holding on to hope, because we guarantee, even if it's tough right now, God is doing something new in you. It may not feel like it, but he is. Now, if we are a non-Christian, meaning that we have not walked into the faith, we do run into a little bit of an issue. Because when we talk about Christ, I talked about sin that happened earlier and how creation was forever changed and we are forever changed. We can only access this newness from God when we step into a relationship with Jesus. When we step into that relationship, that's when that newness starts to happen. So if we keep saying, "God, I don't really want you in my life," then we can't experience that newness that he has for you and that he has for me. But as it says in Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, that Jesus will come into our life. It says this: "I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." If you don't know Jesus, first of all, we're so glad you're here. But if you don't know Jesus and you've been looking for newness, all you have to do is open the door and let him in, and you'll get to experience that newness, that old will pass, and that new will come. If you have been maybe walking with Jesus for a while, remember that as you continue to fellowship with him, he will continue to do that newness in you. Once we open up that door, we invite Jesus in to do that work. And he starts to do this, and we can start to sense it and feel it. And this new spiritual newness gives us some excitement. And that's why this our scripture says today in 2 Corinthians 5:17 this. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life, it has begun. If you're on the outside of the faith, imagine if you were not bound by your sins of your past. If you're on the outside of the faith, imagine that the troubles that you had, that there could be healing. If you're on the outside of the faith, imagine the newness that can come in your life. Or if you're a Christian, you've forgotten your old life is gone. It's like when we come to Christ, it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. You know, we're disciples of Jesus. We're continuing to learn. Maybe you made some mistakes. Isn't it cool to know that your old life is gone, that this is the day that the Lord has made? We can rejoice and be bad in it. Pray for me. Don't listen to that one. Let's reset. Reset. You didn't see that. Can we edit that out, Facebook Live? That we can rejoice and be glad. I guess we can rejoice and be bad in it, but no. All right, moving on. The point is, church, the point is that no matter where we're at, God can keep bringing this newness to you. He can keep bringing this newness to us. It is a clean slate every day. And that truly is something to rejoice about wherever we're at on our journey. Now, whenever we either enter into this relationship with Jesus or if we've been walking for a while, God begins to do some changes in us. And it's really cool. It happens really obviously when we first come to faith. But as we hold on and we go through a new season, God wants us to do something else. There are some changes that begin to take place in our lives. And I want to start to talk about those changes with you. This is what happens when God does something new in us. We get new spiritual eyes and we see things differently. I worked at my family's restaurant from high school till I was about 23 years old. It's called Ott's Drive-In. Now, it's not actually a drive-in. When it was built, my grandfather built it in 1962. It was like intended to be a drive-in, but they never actually got to that. My dad says the closest we ever got to a drive-in was in the 70s when someone came into the parking lot. And instead of hitting the brake, they hit the gas and came right into the restaurant with their car. That's the closest we ever got. You got to know my dad, but yeah, he jokes a lot about that. Let me show you a picture. So this is from 2007. It's actually, my dad did retire from the restaurant. Ott still goes in Rantoul, Illinois, the family restaurant. But this was our last day all together, so we took a lot of pictures. This is just one. And I really want to get you a picture because you got to know that, like, most of my most formative years as a young person was behind that counter back there, okay? You look at the signs up there, there's the Ott Burger, it's next to the steak and eggs, you probably can't read that, but that was one of our best sellers there. But yeah, I spent most of my life, young adult working life, there behind that counter, a lot of really powerful experiences for me. The woman on the left, that's my mother, she's taking a picture of her first granddaughter, Nora. Nora's holding a balloon that says, "Good luck, Matt." Matt is my brother who had to do another. He co-owned the restaurant with my father over the last, over the last 15 years or so. So he was going into his new career. But it was a bittersweet day. But I love that place. It really is a part of who I am, from the social interaction. I talked to people all up and down that counter for years and years and years. Here's what you need to know. I knew almost everyone who came into Ott's. Now, of course, I didn't know everyone. You know, there's some people who didn't come back. There's some people who were just traveling through. But we had lots and lots of repeat customers. And so I knew everyone. My town's about a town of 14,000 people. It's where you know everybody. And if you don't know them, you know a rumor about them. So people came in. Even if I didn't know them, I knew who they hung out with. I knew what people thought about them, right? We had groups of people who would come in. I think of Don Donahue, who was one of the people, who would come in four times on a day, Tuesday through Saturday. And I should tell you that when I was working there, it was just Tuesday through Saturday. We're open from early morning till basically early afternoon. We'd have someone like Don Donnie who came in. He'd come in. He owned his own automotive shop, and he'd come in and grab a coffee. Sometimes he'd get a sandwich. We had people came in 4 times a day. We had people who came in a couple times a week who really enjoyed to get some food. We had other people who came in much, much more infrequently. There were some people who would get turned on to OTS, and they would eat. They'd come and visit us like every day, and then they'd gain like 25 pounds in a few months. That's true. And then we wouldn't see him again for a couple years. But that's very, very true. After I gave my life to Christ is when I started working there, you know, full time, basically, when I was 18, from 18 to 23. So I knew everyone's routine. And I knew who came in there. My point I'm sharing this is that after I gave my life to Christ, I was given new spiritual eyes. And I would start to see in the community people who would come in, not just from my local church then, I started to know people in the community who had a heart for God, who had a heart for reaching out to people who were lost, who had a heart to pastor people. And I would see those people come into OTS really infrequently, and then other customers who would come in very infrequently who were hurting, I would see them start to talk about God. It was like the odds of that happening were like hitting the lotto every couple days. And let me give you a specific example. There was a pastor I knew in town who had a real heart to reach after people, who had a real heart to reach after young people and help them in their faith. This pastor came in pretty infrequently, I mean, in terms of like once a month. He came in just to get a cup of coffee one afternoon, like 2 o'clock, we were close to closing. So he comes in and sits at the counter, sits there for 5 minutes. The same time, there was a young man in town named Jordan, about 18 years old. Jordan came into OTS like once every year or so. Well, that day, Jordan put in a to-go order to come pick it up at the restaurant. He got like a haystack, and you probably want to know what a haystack is from OTS, okay? It is a piece of toast. It's an egg however you like it. It's either bacon, sausage, or ham. It's hash browns after that, another piece of toast, and 2 ladles of sausage gravy, okay? It is awesome. It is a heart attack on a plate, as some people used to call it. So Jordan orders his haystack. And at the very same time, Jordan, who comes in once a year, and that pastor who comes in like once a month, happened to come there at that very same moment. God had opened up my eyes to see that. And guess what? Jordan eventually, after a conversation or two after that with that pastor, gives his life to Jesus for the first time. I was given new spiritual eyes to see. I couldn't have seen that before. But because I engaged in this relationship with Jesus, because I was surrendering my heart to him, he was allowing me to see things that I could not see before. He was allowing me to experience his work in the world. Church, did you know that whenever you surrender your life to Christ, he gives you new spiritual eyes? That's why it says in our scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says this. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Before I gave my life to Jesus and he opened up my eyes, I thought the only reason people were coming to the restaurant was to have some good food. And let me tell you, we had good food. But now I saw that there was something else working in this world. And that something is someone, Jesus. It changed my perspective. It brought newness into my life. When God brings newness into our lives, it makes us see things that we've never seen before. Did you know that God gives you new eyes to see him work in this world? He does. And if you are experienced like seeing things differently now, don't question that. Instead, lean into God. He's the one who's showing you those things, and he's showing those things to you for a reason. When we pray that, and if you've been praying that God will show you new things, if you've been praying that God will teach you something and you see things differently, that's your answered prayer. That's the way that we've been saying that God pings us. Don't be shocked when he does that. Just say, thank you, God, for giving me these new eyes on my spiritual journey. Here's another change we have when God does something new in us. We get new spiritual ears. And we're able to discern truth from error. We get new spiritual ears and we can discern truth from error. We can start to distinguish what is spiritual truth and what is not spiritual truth. There may be a time when You were listening to people and you weren't bothered by what they were saying. Maybe it was straight up heresy, meaning an incorrect Orthodox Christian teaching. Or maybe it was just, I don't know, a selfish ambition where you go along with somebody and they told, or you would hear how they'd handle something selfishly and like, that's the way, you should handle it that way. Or maybe it was something else. But here's the point, is that whenever we get these new spiritual ears from God, it alerts us that something that we are hearing, something that we are experiencing, is not in line with God's will. It's not in line with his will. So these new ears, what they do is that they keep us close to God. And they help us push out negativity. They help us push out distraction so we can stay focused on the God who's in front of us. You know, we're talking about Proverbs on Wednesday night at Going Deeper, 6:30 Wednesdays. And we talked about last week about the father and a mother who are giving their son advice and how they set their son up for the absolute perfect future. But even though they were setting him up and he was about to go into adulthood, they were trying to give him some warning signs so the son could stay on the path and continue on the path that God had for him. Whenever God does this newness in us, he gives us this alertness in our spiritual ears. Why? So we can stay on the path that he has for us. As a loving parent would talk to their child about and warn them about what this life has to offer or what the temptations and snares in this life can do to us, God does that to you and I. So as you grow new in Christ and as he does something different in your heart, remember, he is trying to protect you. Old church language, maybe he's trying to tend you and help you. So you can push away the error. You can push away the selfishness. You can push away the selfish ambition and the negativity in order that you might follow him. Because if we follow him, we are going to experience the life that he had promised. My daughter Ava, over Christmas time, had some gunk in her ears. Let me say it like that. She gets ear infections. We went like her first 18 months, we went to the doctor like 12 times for ear infections, okay? Finally, we got the tubes, and so the tubes helped that tremendously. But over Christmas time, she had something coming out of her ears that was like watching a scary movie. That's all I'll say, okay? And we ran into a little bit of a problem, too, because she's three, Ava. She doesn't really listen to us. She just doesn't listen. But now with this gunk in her ear, she couldn't hear us too. So we're trying to figure out, is this how she normally is, or is this something going on? We found out from the ENT that she couldn't hear us very well. Well, when we went to the ENT, they gave us some antibiotics for her ears. And sure enough, you got to put them in there for 10 days. And it started to unclog her ears. And guess what? She could start to hear us again and still not listen, but she could start to hear us. You know, wherever we're at with Christ, if we're just walking in, if we've been walking for a while, whenever we experience his newness in our journey, we got a little bit of clogged ears. And as we continue to embrace him and embrace what he has for us, he kind of puts that antibiotic stuff in our ears. He puts some drops in there. The Holy Spirit starts to clean us out a little bit so we can start to hear this stuff. And again, he does that in order that he might help us and protect us and do what he's promised that he would do, give you a good life in him. Now, there's stuff that comes along with that, endurance and so forth, but he's just doing that because he cares for you. He's doing that because he loves you. Embrace God. Let God open up your ears to all the newness that he has for you. Next, when God does something new in us, he gives us new spiritual hearts. If you're on the outside coming in, first time you feel that new spiritual heart, if you're walking with him, maybe you would say he softens your heart. I was at the Willow Creek Global Leadership Summit in Chicago last August. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's one of the biggest leaders' trainings in the entire world. It simulcasts like 150 different countries, and hundreds of thousands of people watch it and listen to it. There was a speaker there named Dr. David Livermore. He's the president of the Cultural Intelligence Center, and he was there to help people kind of up their cultural IQ. And he started out his talk pretty much right away where he talked about a group of college students who went over Europe. I think he said about 25, who went over to Europe. And while they were there, they were supposed to engage in the culture and journal with whatever their feelings were, whatever they were experiencing. And so it was a random group of college students from what we understood. And so there was varying degrees of people who could adapt in a different culture and not. There are some people who did very well. There are some people who didn't do very well. Well, he's gonna try to present his case to us. So what he does is he pulls out a journal of someone who did absolutely awful with like any change that you can imagine when they were over in Europe. So he pulls out this student's journal. He got permission to do so. And he starts reading from one of the entries, and this person had such low of cultural awareness, it was painful to listen to. I'll just explain it like that. Just painful to listen to. And it felt like, you know, it probably only lasted 1 or 2 minutes. It felt like it went like 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. And, you know, you felt like he was getting his points across. People were groaning all over the audience. And I started to think to myself, this is a world-renowned speaker, okay? And I started to think to myself, why is he going on like this? It's taking him forever. Like, this seems like it would be a time where you need to jump off and get to your next point. Well, he got us, because after he talks about this low cultural awareness and the painful stuff and everyone just being like, we want you to stop, the whole world's watching this, what's going on? He said this: what I just read you is from my personal journal when I was on a trip with my college classmates 25 years ago. Let me tell you, it took everyone's breath away whenever he said that. This man who's got a PhD and cultural awareness, if you will, someone who is the president of the Cultural Awareness Society somewhere in Michigan, who's there to talk to us on a world stage about upping our cultural IQ, just a couple decades earlier had painfully low cultural awareness. What in the world? How would you go from that to what you're doing now? Jesus changed his heart. Jesus changed his heart. Not only did he start listening to other people and their experiences, he devoted his life towards helping others with upping their cultural awareness. His heart changed, and what that did was it resulted in new actions. You know, there is evidence of someone who's had a heart change. A new spiritual heart always results in new actions. A new spiritual heart always results in new actions. You know, when people first come to the faith, you can a lot of times see it within that first 9 to 18 months about some new actions. But even if we continue to walk with him, God's going to continue to change our heart, and he's going to continue to change our actions because we have a changed heart. When we experience newness from God daily, God places new desires in us. You've heard them before: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. That is why oftentimes you hear about these people who follow Jesus and they come to a place in their life where they say, I'm done acting that way. The old me is gone. The new me is here. That's what's beginning to happen in those moments. When they start to say, the old me is gone, the new me is here, it's that God has started to place new desires in them, and they start to act differently. They'll no longer contribute to negativity. Isn't that awesome? In such an applicable way. I'm working on, I don't know if I'm a negative person or not, I hope not, but I can tell you this, in 2019, I'm working on learning more and more about positivity, not in a secular way, but right in the Bible, how we learn about positivity. Did you know that no matter where you're at in your journey, you can continue to grow? Maybe you're struggling with something, just plain negativity. Like everything in life's going okay, but you keep running into this negativity barrier. Did you know as you embrace God, he can start to get rid of that negativity in your life? That's a wonderful thing. And then your actions will be different. We see that in the hearts of other people, and that can happen in us. Here's a final change we experience. We get new relationships. New relationships, you enter into new relationships based on God. Church, God is a relational God. He wants us to be strong in our relationship with him. He likes us to be strong in our relationship with others. The most common way, now the Holy Spirit is the one who's at work in all this, but the most common way that God wants to form you and I is through relationships with one another. God is doing that through his Holy Spirit, but he calls us to help one another on our spiritual journeys. That's why God is always doing something new in us by using people like us. God is always doing something new in us by using people like us. God brings people to help bring this newness he's developing in us. Whenever we pray, God, change me, God will usually bring us someone who will help us with the change. Sometimes we like that person, sometimes we don't. Did you know that? Sometimes we say, God, change us, and it might not be someone we absolutely love, but God brings that person into our path to change us. If you're praying, God, I want to do something awesome for your kingdom, let me tell you something. God's going to bring someone that can help equip you to do something awesome for his kingdom. God uses people. He uses people like us. You know, today we're going to have our leaders sign up for our spring study over the Gospel of Mark. There should be little cards to fill out at the ends of your pew. We really need you to do that. We're going to have Bible studies, these connect groups for this all-church study. Mark, we're really excited. They'll be meeting throughout the Metro East. We need as many leaders as possible to fill out these groups. And let me tell you why. There's people, you know, over the last couple years, we've seen several hundred new people come to Jesus through our communities. Isn't that incredible? Well, what that means is we need leaders to step up so that we can help form these new leaders into this, these new people who've given their life to Christ, help form them into who God has created them to be. I know many of you will do this. I want to thank you in advance. And yes, we need leaders. You can fill out that card to do so. But I know there may be a group of you who don't normally do something like that. And I want to encourage you to be a leader if you haven't been a leader before. You know, Reverend Shane said last week that he's going to push us spiritually to take a big spiritual step. And he said tongue-in-cheek that if he doesn't, he's going to be miserable for us, okay? So I have an idea for you. Why not to take the big spiritual step now by leading a group if you don't normally lead a group? Why not step up and do it? And you may say, well, Pastor, I don't really know. I don't know how to do it. And no, new group of people. Having a new group of people can be absolutely awesome for you. But we're putting you in a position to win, okay? There's going to be a book that comes with it. We're going to have training in the chapel next Sunday at 4 o'clock. And you'll have a community of people who are rooting for you. So I want to encourage you to do that. You can fill out those cards, and then right after the service, bring them to the Sync Center, and they'll tell you what to do next. Now, for those people who, again, don't know, you know, feeling a little bit, I don't know, not like they want to jump out and lead. You know, some of the best training is whenever you kind of get thrown into the fire a little bit. My first Saturday at OTS, I got thrown into the fire. Okay, it was one of the busiest Saturdays of the whole year. They acted like I knew what I should be doing, and I didn't. I had employees yelling at me. I had my family yelling at me throughout. So it was a little bit hard that day, but do you know what came from that? I knew how to train people better than anyone else did at OTS, because I learned that day what really works and what does not work. I want to encourage you to go ahead and do that, because also you'll have a group of people that will have your back. And we need a group of people that can have our back spiritually. You always have to have those group of people. Let me tell you a story and we'll finish. I was at a coffee shop in Chesterfield, Missouri recently, and I ordered a fat-free mocha. Now, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have admitted that to you. But things change. I've embraced the new. Well, at this coffee shop, I was waiting. It was one of those really fancy places, like they put like a dinosaur, or a leaf at the top. I don't know what they do. So I had to wait a long time to get my coffee. But when it was ready, a lady held up a cup and she said to me, okay, here's your fat-free hot chocolate. Now, I started to walk towards her, and in my mind, I'm not someone who just snaps out and say, that's not what I ordered. I wait, because I've worked at restaurants. I know sometimes people order something, but they order the wrong thing. Like in your mind, you're thinking you want this, but you say something else. So I slowly walked towards her, and then out of nowhere, there was like a ninja that arrived, okay? This ninja took the form of an 80-year-old woman. I mean, she was like out of nowhere, and she yells out, no, I heard him order a fat-free mocha. Okay? Now, I was really amazed by her power of observations, and I was like really happy that an objective person came in and confirmed what was going on, what I ordered that day. She was in my business too much, there's no doubt about that, but it was nice. It was nice having a new person come into my life and give an objective thing that I thought God was doing. Leaders, Realize whenever God, if God has you lead a group, God is bringing new people into your life to affirm what he's doing in your life. Leadership isn't always, I mean, you don't go into leadership thinking, what can I get? But I'll guarantee you this, you will get something. And I believe that will be affirming what God is already doing. Church, we serve a God that's always up to something new in us by using people like us. As you enter into your relationship with Jesus, he is going to bring you the spiritual newness that you're going to keep experiencing again and again. Partner with God today, whether it's giving your life to Jesus for the first time, whether it's hanging on, whether it's being a leader in one of these all-church study groups, because once you do that, you're going to find the exhilaration that comes from Christ experiencing something new, and you're going to have God's presence come into your life in an absolute incredible way. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much for how you work in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you, God, that this is not a stale relationship we have with you. Instead, you continue to bring vibrancy. You continue to bring energy. You continue to bring hope for us, God. We love you. If there's anyone out there struggling today, God, we pray that you encourage them, Lord. Pray that you give them that hope that they need. And God, as we start to transition to a time of collecting your tithes and our offerings, Lord God, we pray that you bless them, Lord, that people here all over the Metro East and all over the world might know that they can become these new creatures in Christ. We love you and we give you the praise. Amen.